Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ace of Spades Radio. We are live Saturday afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern. Ace of Spades Radio, live show. SHTF, when the poop hits the rotating oscillator, the company you keep. That is the subject. The people around you may pose the greatest threat when the stuff hits the fan. I'm going to talk about various kinds of people you may have around you and why they are not conducive to your survival. Okay, so we're going to talk about toxic people. Start with that. Toxic people. I don't mean literally toxic, not radioactive, not people with diseases. I'm talking about people with personality defects. There's all kinds. We're all imperfect. But there's different kinds of imperfections. And some of these imperfections will cause you harm. And in a crisis situation, will get you killed. And we're going to start with the fact that people around you, people that know you, know that you are a prepper. So there's one type of person who says, I'm coming to your house when the SHTF. Well, what are they going to bring with them? Are they going to bring food? Are they going to bring weapons? Are they going to help me fortify my home? Do they have any skills? Or is this just a sink, just a drain on my resources? In the odd event that I need someone to swing fists and punch someone, you know, or hand this person a weapon, you know, but I'm going to feed this person indefinitely until that day comes. Not really a good bargain. It's not really a good deal for me. Then you've got the know-it-all, and that's been covered by others. It's worth mentioning. The know-it-all just knows so much better than you, is going to argue with you, and insist that their way is the right way. Well, you know, maybe they are right, maybe they're wrong, but it would take extraordinary leadership and really convincing scope of knowledge for me to follow someone and give up my voice. You know, some of these decisions that will be made in a crisis will have to be collective decisions, agreed upon mutually. by all who are in the group, whatever the group may be, friends, family, a prepper group, militia, whatever. Some of these will have to be collective decisions, or someone who may ordinarily be deferred to as the leader, they may make a very bad call, and it's time to speak out and say, no, that's a bad idea. I'm not for that. I don't think that's a good idea. We shouldn't do that. And a leader who cannot accept that is a problem, because nobody's right all the time. Nobody's right all the time, not even me. But if it's just me, then I alone am responsible for my decisions, and I alone will suffer the consequences. Then we've got just generally bad attitude people, for whatever reason, some type of bad attitude, always fighting, always making a big deal out of nothing, blaming people, causing stress. Now, I'm in enough stress in SHTF. I'm in considerable stress. Anyone that I'm with is also under stress. We must remain calm. We must have a plan. We must be able to work together to implement a plan. If not, then I will go my own way. We see before the stuff really happened, there's people in our circles who are just mean, nasty, bitter, complaining, blaming. I'm cutting these people out of my life right now. Okay, I see the writing on the wall. There's problems. You know, the United States bombed Syria last week. I guess that was a week ago. And on Friday. That was 8 days ago. United States bombed Syria, and Russia, you know, made a lot of noise that they're going to do something. I don't know if Russia's going to do anything or not, but we have the potential for a crisis. There's many global flashpoints. There was a large amount of explosives stolen from a facility last week, and nobody seems to know who took them. Or what for? Migrants crossing the border with AK-47s. That was also last week. There is political turmoil. There's something similar to a civil war in the government right now. There are social divisions. Roughly half the population... Well, I'll put it this way. Roughly half the voters voted for Trump, enough to secure a numerical majority, enough to secure the election. That leaves almost half who did not vote for Trump, don't like Trump, and a lot of them don't like people who voted for Trump. This is going to be a problem. Actually, it already is a problem. There already is violence associated with this delineation, this divide. There are other social divisions constantly being exploited, to be honest, constantly being fed and made worse, exacerbated. I'm just going to give the call-in number real quick. For those who don't have the link, you can just call in and listen. And the number is 516-387-1414. That's 516-387-1414. And if you want to be in the host queue, you can also select 1 on the keypad on your phone, and that's raising your hand. It's going to be a short show. I'm just going to get straight to the point. No politics, no foreign policy. I don't care. I'm not going to talk about the FBI or Mueller or some prostitute or any of this stuff. I see that we are definitely closer to the shit hitting the fan. Yes, we are definitely closer. Social divisions that are exacerbated. Okay. Racial divisions. Yes, there's a lot of racism in America. There is. I don't think it comes from Trump supporters. I've identified the element. I know who it is. It's the Nazi movement. It's literally a new Nazi movement. I'm not sure they actually voted for Trump. They hate him now. They call him a Zionist, and you know they hate his Jewish daughter and his Jewish son-in-law. And they hate that he said Jerusalem is Israel's capital. So the Nazis, at least now, they're off the Trump train. I'm not absolutely certain they were ever on the Trump train. But I don't care for them. I won't work with them. I won't be in a group with them. Okay, that's another thing. The people in your group. Racists. You don't want them. You don't want them. And I'll tell you why. Because their priorities and their targets are wrong. And I'm completely leaving out a moral and ethical element. I'm talking about survival. Morals and ethics can go out the window when it comes to survival. Okay? Thou shalt not kill. Right? It's not cool to kill people. Would you kill someone if your life was in danger? Many would say yes. Many have not been tested. Many are just talking. But theoretically, many would say, yes, I would kill to protect my own life. Okay, forget the morals and ethics. Racists, priorities and targets are completely wrong. When your goal is survival, you're talking about escape and evasion. You're talking about avoidance of conflict. Super important. You don't look for a fight. You don't ever look for a fight. Okay? Because there's a danger that one of your party could be injured or killed. And if one of your party is injured or killed, unless you just abandon your people and run away, you're now pinned down. You are now pinned down. And I would certainly hope that anybody in my group or anybody I associate with would at least tend to first aid if I was injured. Maybe drag me out of the gunfire, you know, drag me behind cover. So you don't want to get into a firefight. You don't want to get into any type of fight. Conflict avoidance, super important. Actual survival. You need to find a safe place to be and set up a camp so that you can do the things you need to do. Wash up, sleep, prepare food, tend to the wounded, prepare, you know, resupply water if possible, resupply food if possible, whatever you need to do in camp. Now, a camp can be a cold camp or a hot camp. It can be a base camp or it can be a temporary camp. It can be a bivouac. Conflict attracts attention. Violence attracts attention. And at the very least, reveals your position, gives some idea of your numbers, and I guess this should be first, alerts others to your existence. Your best bet for survival is that others don't even know you exist. Or if they know you exist, you want them to know as little about you as possible. So, racists, they are constantly looking for fights right now in a civil society with law and order, with a fully functioning government, with electricity, with a supply chain, with everything you can imagine, everything you need, hospitals, medicine, and racists are looking for a fight when everything's good. So when the shit hits the fan, these idiots will get you killed, guaranteed. Guaranteed. because I've noticed, I've been watching these people now for several years. I've been watching them. They're very open now, extremely revelatory. And more than just watching, I've been in groups where racists have infiltrated and taken control of the group, and I had to leave the group. Not because I'm a target, but because these idiots make themselves a target, and I don't want to be associated with it. I also don't believe or agree with anything that they support. Now, the basic fact of racists is that they are always, always a minority as opposed to their enemy. They're the little guy picking a fight with the big giant guy. Okay? They're the little loudmouth picking a fight with the big guy with the big family and the big gang. That's a racist. That's a Nazi. They're fucking twerps. Right? In my younger days, I used to like punk rock and skateboarding and stuff, you know. At one time, I even shaved my head, and I thought I was a skinhead at 16 years old, you know, so anti-drug. I put the X on my hands, you know, anti-drug, straight edge, hardcore punk rock, right? Go out to CBGB nightclub in New York City, and I find that the skinheads are a bunch of fucking Nazis, and all they want to do is brawl, and they ruined it. They literally ruined the hardcore scene. They killed it. They completely murdered the hardcore scene, and it died. And we used to get into big gang battles with them in New York City. And I've heard out in California, it was a similar story. And in other places. Okay, racists. Not only will they get you killed, but when you die, you're going to be reviled. People will say, what a piece of crap. I'm glad he's dead. They'll spit on your grave. Get them the fuck away from you. Get them so far away from you. And have nothing to do with them. I don't care what color the racist comes in or who their enemy is. Wrong. My number one priority. Let's go through the priorities of survival. Number one, assess. Is the danger? What is the crisis? What does this mean to me? And what should I do to get ready for it? Two, stay or go? Do I stay where I am or do I need to go somewhere else? If I need to go, I'm on three now. If I need to go, what they call bug out. If I need to go, where am I going? How will I get there? What are the logistics? Now we get to number four. Who's riding with me? Or who's walking with me? Who are my go-to guys? Who are my go-to people? What is my traveling party? This is the most crucial decision you will make. From the moment the lights go out, or the riots start, or the bombs start falling. Number four, the company you keep. This is the most crucial decision. This will decide if you live or die. Okay? Some people can't walk that good. Some people wander off and do whatever they think they want to do. Some people lead you in the wrong direction. Some people just won't shut the fuck up. And some people are plotting to steal your stuff. Some may have infiltrated your group just to kill you. Just to kill you. And then probably take your stuff. But they were enemies from the get-go. So you got to put all your people to the test. You got to put your people to the test before the crisis arrives. Leave out your wallet when at a drinking party with your best friends. Leave it out. Just leave it out. See if it moves. if any money goes missing, you know, don't leave a lot of money in there. Don't leave your credit cards in there, but $5 bill, you know? But see how grimy these people are. My so-called friends. Would they steal a $5 bill out of my wallet right under my nose? Hey, that's money well spent. That is money well spent, because now I know somebody does not need to be with me when it goes down. And I may leave a good location just on the precondition that I know people are coming to my house in a crisis, and I don't want them with me when it goes down. I don't want them with me. I don't trust them. It's worth it. It's worth it. Okay. Here's another little test. You could let somebody borrow a small amount of money, very small, $20. Do they disappear for a month, 2 months? Do they stop returning your call? Money well spent. That's somebody who wants to use you. They want to get what they can off of you. And they're good for nothing, man. I mean, like I said, we're in good conditions right now. Everything's basically okay. I don't want to risk someone stealing the boots off my feet when I'm hiking through the woods to get away from something bad. You know what I'm saying? Okay, snitches. That's another group. People who just got to talk about other people all the time. This is a big red flag. Super bad. As you get to know these people, make your life more and more secret. If they know something crucial about you, do something about that. Hide the thing that they know about. Hide it in a place where they'll never find it. Or get rid of it. Or change it. Or change something about you. Or put on a fake personality change. Okay. Drugs and alcohol. We may have friends who enjoy drinking or smoking something or using other type of substances. Like I said, conditions are good now. Even a junkie can manage to get his fix without working. Just scamming people. Now imagine if we're in a situation where the basics are difficult, if not impossible to find. Food, water, shelter, medical attention. Drug addicts, it's a serious problem. Serious problem. They will do whatever they have to do to get their fix. And they basically feel no guilt. They have a need. They have a compelling need. They're going to take care of that need before they think about you. Alcoholics, less shady for the most part, but here's the problem. Number one, alcoholics act wild and talk too much when they're drunk. Just the talking alone is a problem. They can reveal things about your group or your plans or your bug out location, troop strength, armaments, strategy, tactics. The tongue gets loosened with alcohol, which is one reason I enjoy plying my friends with alcohol. They all drink much more than I do. They all have less capacity to say no. So it's one of my ways of testing people. As I get drunk with them, I don't get fully drunk. I stop. I stop at a certain point, and they keep going, and I find out what's really going on. But your biggest problem with an alcoholic is this: withdrawal. And it's the same with drug addicts, withdrawal. At some point, the addict may become incapacitated by the pains, the discomforts of withdrawal. This is not a person who can march. This is not a person who can lift and carry things or do useful tasks. Damn sure it ain't a person who can return fire on the enemy. I mean, they're just useless to you. It's like a wounded person. Now, if you care about somebody, you're going to want to take care of them. I hope you have that luxury. I hope you have the luxury of a good place and plenty of time and plenty of supplies. Withdrawal can last from 5 to 7 days. Withdrawal, where, you know, that individual is basically incapacitated. They can't really do anything. And so if you've got that opportunity to dry someone out, to dry them out and make sure they don't die, and you don't really have to move from where you're at, okay. But if you got to move, these people can't even keep up. They can't even march. And it's going to be terrible for them. They're going to be having a miserable damn time. And guess what? You're going to have to leave them behind. You're going to have to leave these people behind. So I've made it a practice in my life to prepare for the shit hitting the fan. And I've already abandoned all of these people. Not just the drug addict, but those who are codependent on the drug addict, the enablers of the drug addict, those who make excuses for the drug addict. They can't be in my circle either. You can't be in my circle. And, you know, I've got certain friends I'm keeping an eye on. You know, they say they're clean right now and doing good and everything. I really hope they are. I really hope they are. But they're already out of the inner circle. That's a fact. They're already out of the inner circle, even though they're clean, allegedly. Because, you know, so-and-so has been clean and fallen off before. This individual doesn't know about my preps, my bug-out location, evac routes. I'm not going straight to this person's house to pick them up. You know, that's just how it is. That's just how it is. Like, you've shown you have a flaw in your moral character, defect and a weakness. I'm trying to strengthen myself. The shit has hit the fan for me many times, repeatedly. I've lost the ability to move or speak. You know, I've been completely physically incapacitated by illness. That's a shit hit the fan situation in a personal life. I've been so poor that I've been on the verge of homeless or not having food. You know, and like I said, these are good conditions right now. This is under ideal conditions. So I keep on bumping my head into the wall, to the brick wall. And guess what? Now I wear a helmet. Now I wear a helmet. And part of that is only certain people can be around me. And if you don't match the criteria, you're out. You're out of my life, honestly. Crazy people, big category, very diverse category. There's a lot of people who are diagnosed with a mental illness who are very high functioning, who are, for the most part, exemplary citizens, exemplary people. Some are taking medication, some are not. Those who take medication, this is going to be a problem. Under ideal circumstances, they will have a 30-day supply of medication. After those 30 days, they go into withdrawal. This can be very dangerous. This can be a psychotic breakdown situation. Those who are diagnosed but off their meds, I actually like these people. I resemble that description. I have a diagnosis, and I'm not heavily medicated. But I consider myself to be extremely rational, and I try to be high-functioning. I also take great pains to not have a physical dependency on a chemical substance. This is important to me. And I've made this decision, I've made this break. Like I said, while things are good, there's a lot of crazy people who are not diagnosed. Bat shit crazy. People who just flip out and you just go, what are you upset about? What did I do? What did I do? Why are you yelling at me? Right? In modern society, they're not called crazy. I call them crazy. They can't be around me. They can't know about my preps. They can't see and learn what I can do. I don't want them to know what I can do or what I'm not good at, my strengths and my weaknesses. They can't know that. It's not for them to know. Most certainly, I'm not going to put my safety in a crazy person's hands. So that involves also travel, bug out locations. So I'm talking about basically cutting people out of your life right now because they will be harmful. They will be dangerous to your survival in a crisis. And then the second step is to get the right people around you. It's very important. I have enjoyed this. Let me give out the call-in number one more time. We'll play a little bit of music. Maybe someone will call in. And if not, then maybe I'll talk some more, maybe not. Ace of Spades Radio, live show, 516-387-1414. Let me see. Yeah. This is appropriate.
Let the bodies hit the floor. 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 We'll be right back.
So no one's called in yet. I'm going to talk a little bit about family. I've seen a lot of people talk about prepping for their family or taking care of their family and this and that and the other. These are mostly married people or people with children. I'm a single man. If you listen to the show, you could probably figure out why. Kind of difficult to get along with. A little bit stubborn, a little bullheaded. You know, it is what it is. But basically, my family is a write-off. I'm not sticking around for my family. Talking mom and dad, brother, sister, brother-in-law, niece, nephew. Nope. They're on the wrong side of the political equation. My brother-in-law may be Antifa. I'm not absolutely certain, but he's sort of given some indications he may be some type of commie. Nice guy. I like him. I like him a lot. We get along good. But, you know, I think he would turn me into Homeland Security, you know, if they were looking for guys like me. Or, you know, maybe do something worse to me personally. I don't know. I really don't know. And we get along, you know. But he's the opposite side of the political spectrum. My sister, we also get along. She has certain resources. I wish I could add that to my my own capabilities, but I don't think it's safe. You know, I mean, she has a farm. She has like a relatively isolated house that could be useful, but no, it's not possible. You know, if I was to show up dressed in camo with an assault rifle or something like that, they would be very upset, and they would not be on board for anything I'm thinking of. They wouldn't agree with any of my analysis. And I know, I'm absolutely certain they won't leave. You know, they're not bugging out under any circumstances. They've got children, and they've got, like I said, certain resources. They're going to stay put. I'm probably going to leave. I'm surrounded by liberals. Not just, you know, my city, which is not the most liberal city in the county or in the area, but the entire county, the entire neighboring county. Liberals, Bernie people, Antifa, radical socialist, communist, feminist, LGBTQ people, you know, like they want me dead. Like, this is one reason I'm thinking about the shit hitting the fan. I live surrounded by these people. They want me dead right now. They just haven't worked up the guts to do it. And I haven't made enough of a noise or a presence. Most of them are not aware that I exist. Which is one reason I don't talk about where I live or my name or any of these things. You know, I am in enemy territory. I'm working on getting to a more comfortable place, a more amenable place. But, you know, haven't been able to do that just yet. This is where I'm at. And if war breaks out with Russia, for instance, I'm good. As far as nuclear bombs, I'm good. I'm way out of the blast zone. There's no targets here. That's great. The geography is good. The way that the wind patterns are good. The way the hills and the valleys are. It's good. I'm not worried about nuclear war in this location. You know, we've got a lot of water. We've got hydroelectric power. You know, we grow a lot of food. You know, I mean, there's a lot of benefits to living in this area in a crisis situation, but the politics are all wrong. And if society was to collapse, I believe there are elements in my area, in my county, and in the neighboring county who would attempt to stand up a socialist or communist type government if authority was to collapse. I mean, they would try to make an Antifa type government, basically, given the opportunity. And then I would have to be killed. I would be an enemy of the state. I don't know how much awareness these people have of my existence or what I stand for, but you know, as soon as they find out, I'm dead. I'm in a lot of trouble. And there won't be courts, there won't be police, there'll just be lynch mobs. So I'll leave. I'm gonna leave if it comes to that. The company you keep. It's not just the people who know you. It's not just the people you interact with. It's people you don't know, but they may be aware of you, or they may become aware of you. So it's like, oh, it's like those nuclear bomb diagrams. You have, you know, ground zero, the initial blast zone. You have the shockwave zone, you know, and then you have the fallout zone, right? So circles within circles. I exist on the single spot of ink made by a pen touching paper. I know some people. I know some people better than others. There are very, very few people I trust. And those that I trust, many of them don't live anywhere near me. So they're useless to me in a crisis. If I could get to their location somehow, that might be a place I could stay for a little while. But get in there is, that's the hard part, you know. These are not close locations where my most trusted friends are, you know. So I've got one, two. I have a small group of people that I call friends that live close by, but I'm not really sure any of them are in my group. Or maybe just one. Maybe one. Honestly. Basically, it's just me. And like I said, there's various people you don't want in your group. So that really knocks most of my associates out of the circle. So it's just me. So if I'm going to stay here, I need to fortify my house and not open the door for anyone. And I mean, not even for friends, not people I love, people that, you know, come on, man, we go way back. Da 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 da. No. No, the door doesn't open, bud. That's it. Like, you had your chance to prove that you were a decent person that could be relied upon, and you didn't convince me. I'm not talking to anyone specific. I'm just talking about the person at the door. The person knocking at the door. They know me. They think maybe they have a better chance of survival with me. What do you bring to the table? Do they show up empty-handed? You know? Is this a person who has pre-positioned supplies at my house? And I mean including food and toilet paper and baby wipes or whatever else. You know, I mean, geez, can you imagine? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one person that I know, he can come over. But don't bring the wife and the kid, no. No, 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 no. The wife is useless, or the girlfriend, baby mama, whatever. She's useless under the best of circumstances. In a crisis, absolutely not. Never. No possibility. She's not coming in. And the baby, you know, babies are great, but I don't have that problem. I don't have a baby to take care of. Don't drop that in my lap. I will be very pissed off. And if you show up and you bring the wife and a baby, you damn sure better bring a box of food and diapers and baby wipes and all that crap. You better bring all that, and you better bring weapons. Because I don't have resources to help large numbers of people. I'm not really certain that I could even survive the shit hits the fan, a temporary crisis, on my own, just completely on my own. I'm not really sure. I don't have enough. I don't have enough food. I don't have enough medical supplies, weapons. I don't have a bug out location. At least nothing I'll tell you about. And if any of my friends are listening, yeah, at least nothing I'll tell you about. Really, y'all got to prove yourselves to me. Don't you dare come knocking on my door empty-handed. The fucking door's staying shut. Okay? And if you show up and all you brought is, beer and liquor and alcohol, or drugs or whatever, get the fuck out. No. This ain't a drinking party, bud. It's the end of the world. You need your head screwed on straight. Okay? And I like a drink as much as the next guy. And I have nothing against cannabis. I don't think it's a bad thing, but when the crisis hits, it's not time to smoke a joint. It's not time to get drunk. It's not time to take care of the crying baby and change his nappies. It's not. Okay? It's time to get real serious. And when you show up at my door, I may have a plan to leave and go somewhere. You're not invited. Unless we already worked this out, we already discussed it, and then you adhere to the agreed upon terms and conditions, you're not invited. And you're not going to know where it is, and you don't get a ride either. You're staying where the fuck you are. Okay, one more type of person. I'm going to point this one out. People with open warrants. A certain radio host got arrested in Cleveland and then decided to go to Oregon to join a protest, which turned into some type of militia occupation of a federal wildlife reserve. Turned into a big media circus. Now, this fella was running around with an open warrant the whole time. You don't let this person into your camp. This brings heat. The police came. The FBI came to that location, to that incident, to that event. The FBI was there. And this guy's walking around with an open warrant. That brings heat. Now, if I have to travel, if we have to travel, there is a very good possibility we may have to interact with law enforcement at some point. There may be a checkpoint. There may be a cordon around an area. There may be closed areas, closed, no entry. There may be riots. There's all type of situations where the police or law enforcement or military may get involved. the person with the open warrant brings heat on all of you. And this especially applies to their vehicle, the tags on their car, the license plate scanner on the police car automatically reads every license plate, and it's going to pop. It'll pop on the cop's computer immediately. So if you're riding with somebody else, you better make sure their license and registration is valid. They don't have an open warrant. And then while you're out there being real clever and smart, don't have an open container either. You know? I mean, I know people who still just can't stop. They just can't stop drinking while driving. Oh, I got it under control. I never got busted for it. Well, if we're already in a crisis, I don't want anything to make it worse. I don't want to risk any possibility of being prevented from doing what I need to do, whether that's to escape from danger or to arrive at a location or to avoid the possibility of a potential danger or something that approaches. Because guess what? If I don't get to where I'm trying to go, if I don't get out before law enforcement comes down with a heavy hand, I'll be at the FEMA center. I'll be at the FEMA refugee center. And there's going to be bad people there. And I will be dependent. And I will not have access to my supplies and my tools, my vehicle, my weapons. I will not have access to these things. I might as well be in prison at that point. No good. Come high water, I abandon my car and I swim across the river. Better than take the main road, encounter the checkpoint, and be directed to a FEMA relocation center where I lose all my advantages, mobility, freedom of action, freedom of association, invisibility. That's maybe my most precious asset. The less people know about me, the better, especially when it comes to where I sleep, where I eat, and where I shit. Granddaddy told me when I was a boy, best place to kill a man is on the toilet. And if you don't have a gun, kill your enemy and take his weapon. I said, how do you do that? You say, catch him when he's taking his shit. He slit his throat. This was heavy stuff for me. I was 12 years old at the time. Granddaddy was a little bit odd. A little bit odd. World War II veteran. Old school, different generation. Granddaddy said, use a stick to get a knife. Use a knife to get a gun. Use a gun to get a better gun. Use a good gun to get a vehicle or a tank. I've been training in this type of stuff for over 20 years. I joined the military just to get training. I didn't really care about the cause. Not that much. I mean, not enough to die for it. But that's the best training you get in the military, learning how to not get killed. That's the most important thing you learn in the military. Rule number one, don't get killed. And I learned it, and I'm good at it. And I don't die. Ladies and gents, I don't die. Yes, I'm going to die someday. But if you're coming to kill me, you better bring your A game, because a lot of pikers have tried. They were weak sauce. And they're dead now. They're dead, and I'm alive. And that's really not a whole lot of morality there. It's not. This is not any Sunday morning preaching, okay? Talking about the art of survival, staying alive, and the company you keep is vital. It is a very important consideration. It's time to weed out people. Don't build your groups. Don't grow your groups. Cut people off. Keep your circle small and tight. I said what I came to say. I'm sure I didn't make any friends. Good. That's the point. It's not about making friends. It's about getting rid of the wrong friends. Then you can start to find the right friends. Because I'm avoiding people who have the wrong friends. And you won't get to know me until I think you have the right friends. And that's how this works. Thank you for joining me today. This has been the Ace of Spades Radio. Good luck out there.